I should have sent Gloria an updated bio for me, because we have a new research center at UCSF, the University of California, San Francisco, called the Community Living Policy Center, which I direct, a center for research on long-term care policy. So I was asked to talk about who are people with disabilities and how do we measure disability. And it's important to realize that the sort of stereotypical notion of who people with disabilities are is much more limited than the reality. It's not just people who have the typical very visible disabilities. It's not just wheelchair users or people who are deaf and are using sign language, or people who are blind, or people who have mental retardation, although they certainly have disabilities. But it's a much broader spectrum of people who have limitations. They might have rather severe limitations. They might have less severe limitations in their physical functioning. Physical functioning meaning mobility and use of the upper body, vision. They might have limitations in vision or hearing or cognition or mental health. And these limitations are often not apparent. We refer to people with hidden disabilities. And I would say that, well, it depends on what you mean by hidden, but certainly I would say the vast majority of people with disabilities are not instantly recognizable as such. And the disability is associated with a health condition or an impairment of some kind. It could have originated at birth, or it could be acquired. It's often acquired late in life among people who are elderly. I'll talk more about the sort of distribution of when people acquired their disability. And in an unaccommodating environment, a person with a disability would be limited in their ability to participate in their communities, limited in their ability to perform typical activities. And I wanted to illustrate that what I said about most people with disabilities not having the sort of very severe, very typical, very visible disabilities, with two charts that I'm going to show you, one of which is about the extent of people's functional limitations. And there are 4% of the adult population who report that they cannot walk a quarter mile. 4%, relatively small number. There are additional 3% who say that it's very difficult for them to walk a quarter mile. Another 4% somewhat difficult. Another 5% only a little difficult. So somewhere in there you have to make a cut and say these people have disabilities. And however you do it, say you use somewhat difficult or more, it would be a majority of people who can't do it at all. And if you look at hearing impairment instead of mobility impairment, you can you notice that deaf people, they're only 0.2% of the U.S. population are deaf, but 10 times as many, 2%, have a lot of trouble hearing, and an additional 4% have moderate trouble hearing. So again, it depends on how you define disability, but however you do it, the people with very noticeable, very severe disabilities are a minority. As Gloria said, there's been a progression from what we disability researchers refer to as the medical model of disability, in which disability was a bad outcome to be prevented, and if you didn't succeed in preventing disability, then you cured it if you could, or you treated it, and if you couldn't cure it or treat it, then it became a sort of personal tragedy, and that was the sort of end of your interest in it. And even today, people still use a concept of disability-adjusted life years, for example, in which having a disability is treated more or less the same way as mortality. So you know, it cuts off your amount of enjoyable life, and disability advocates would have a very good reason for objecting to this sort of approach to thinking about disability. And instead of this medical model, we've moved toward what we refer to as a social model of disability. It's a minority group model of disability. Disability becomes a demographic characteristic of an individual. And the notion which is now several decades old, is that regardless of the type of disability or the cause of disability, people with disabilities have certain things in common, such as being discriminated against. And in the social model, disability is not mainly about health. It's not mainly about diagnosis or cure. But instead, disability has become, people with disabilities have become, through the Americans with Disabilities Act, a legally protected class. So the question is, who counts as having a disability and is therefore within this protected class, or at least have the potential of being within this protected class? There are a number of ways of defining disability, either in a, from a conceptual sense or in the sense of defining it for actual measurement in a survey, and I don't have time to talk about all of them, so I'm going to just address this, what has become a standard method of defining disability in data collection instruments. And this is the standard, six standard disability questions that are used throughout the Department of Health and Human Services. They're often referred to as the American Community Survey questions because that's where they started out being fielded. Two of those questions are about limitations in daily activities. If you're familiar with the lingo, they're ADL questions and IEDL questions. One of them is about difficulty bathing or dressing. The other is about difficulty, and I've used the word difficulty twice here, doing errands alone, such as visiting a doctor's office or shopping. The other four questions are actually quite different. They're about functional limitations that a person has. So they ask whether the person is deaf or has serious difficulty hearing. So serious is the word that's used in all these four as a kind of cutoff point. Blind, or does the person have serious difficulty seeing? Does the person have serious difficulty concentrating, remembering, or making decisions? Which is an attempt to include people with both cognitive limitations and people with mental health disabilities. And finally, whether the person has serious difficulty walking or climbing stairs. The prevalence of disability increases dramatically with age, so that it's less than 5% of the population for children, but more than 70% of the population for people 85 years of age or over. So it increases steeply with age. That's prevalence, but that's not the population with disabilities. In fact, using those six standard questions, we find 39 million people with disabilities in the United States, a majority of whom are non-elderly. Only 16 million of that 39 million is elderly. A rather small minority are children, and quite a number of them are older working age adults, most of whom live in the community. Only a rather small minority live in institutions, shown in the red on this graph. And among people who live in institutions, most of those are actually elderly people living in nursing homes. So I said that I was going to talk about the onset of disability. Among children, a majority of children with disabilities have an acquired disability. They were not born with it. Almost 60% acquired their disability in childhood. And the fraction of people with acquired disabilities increases markedly with age, so that when you get to the younger working age adults, ages 18 to 44, about a quarter of those adults with disabilities have birth onset disabilities. In fact, a majority of those have disabilities that they acquired in adulthood, in their early adulthood. And that's even more so for older working age adults. It's about 70% acquired the disability in adulthood, and it's about 95% of the elderly people with disabilities who acquired their disabilities in adulthood. Many of those acquired their disabilities they have aging-related conditions that they acquired in their elderly years. So the types of disabilities shift from disabilities that are typically birth-related to disabilities related to chronic conditions. And in fact, here are the top five causes of disability for three different age groups. For children, the number one cause of disability is, let me explain this a bit. The National Health Interview Survey presents people with a checklist and says, what are the causes? You know, if you've said you're limited in activity, they ask you why you're limited in activity, and you identify as many as you like. So these causes add up to more than 100%. But 25% of children have a speech impairment. Attention deficit disorder is also high, and so is learning disability at 21%. Mental health disability is also quite high among children. Developmental disabilities are at 9% of children with disabilities. But when you move to working age adults, chronic conditions start to be more apparent. Back problems at 28%, mental health disability at 19%, and then arthritis, other musculoskeletal conditions, and then nervous system conditions, which includes paralysis, at 12%. And among elderly adults, the top five conditions are entirely aging-related: arthritis, back problems, heart conditions, hypertension, and diabetes as the top five causes of disability. This graph shows three Venn diagrams that indicate the types of disability that people with disabilities have by age group. And among children, physical and cognitive disabilities are about equally prevalent, which with a rather large overlap between those two groups. And then there's also an overlap with kids with mental health disabilities, which is a smaller group but overlaps with those other two. And this overlapping thing is something that I want to emphasize, because for all three age groups, there's a lot of physical disability increases in prevalence as the population ages, but then you have your cognitive and your mental health disabilities, and especially among the elderly, nearly everybody who has a mental health disability also has a physical disability. The gender distribution of people with disabilities varies a lot by age. Children with disabilities are more likely to be boys, and among the working ages, it's about equally distributed by gender. But because women live longer than men, women predominate among elderly people with disabilities. The prevalence also varies. Prevalence of disability varies by race and ethnicity, and we'll hear more about that later. But any kind of measure of disability you use, American Indians and Alaska Natives are always much higher than other groups, and Asian Americans are always much lower. Latinos are usually also low, but not always. And depending on the measure you use, African Americans are either a lot higher or a little higher. Usually they're moderately higher than whites. There's a remarkably high proportion of people with disabilities who live in poverty, especially among children and younger working age adults, of whom about a third live in poverty, compared to, well, actually also high numbers for people without disabilities, but for people with disabilities, the proportions are much higher. Even among older working age adults, a quarter live in poverty. Elderly people with disabilities, as I mentioned, a lot of those acquired their disability late in life, and so they may have spent a lifetime making money. They have Social Security, and so the disability rate is relatively low at 13%, but is still twice the poverty rate is 13%, but it's still twice that for people without disabilities. And poverty is, of course, related to employment. Among working age adults with disabilities, the employment rate in 2011 was 32%, compared to 72% for people without disabilities. So it's less than half of the rate of employment among people with disabilities compared to without. And it's not only economic participation which is affected by disability. It's also other types of social and community participation in terms of participating in leisure and social activities. People with disabilities are substantially lower, 60% participating in these kinds of activities. That's remarkable, isn't it? Only 60% say they participate in leisure or social activities compared to 89% of people without disabilities. Even getting out with friends or family is substantially lower, 74 versus 96%. Participation in community activities, 38% versus 61%, and even participation in religious activities, 51 versus 63%. The label on this graph, I realized when I was reviewing the talk is wrong. It should be just with disability and without disability. I wanted to talk about health and healthcare issues because this is a public health conference. Uninsurance is a problem for people with disabilities. It's less of a problem in proportional terms than for people without disabilities. 15% uninsured for people with disabilities compared to 17% for people without disabilities. That's because of public insurance coverage. It shows the extent to which public insurance is really important for people with disabilities. 48% have some kind of public coverage. This is for the non-elderly population only, so that would be largely Medicaid. But there's still a fair amount of people who are uninsured, and this is a real problem because utilization of health care is much, much higher for people with disabilities than without. For the measure of people who see physicians a lot, more than 10 times or more per year, 33%, one-third of people with disabilities compared to only 5% of people without disabilities. Multiple hospitalizations in 1 year, 7% versus 0.8%, almost 10 times as high. And unmet need is also very high. 21% of people with disabilities said that they delayed seeking care due to cost, 21% versus 8% for people without disabilities. They not only delayed, but they forewent their care. They didn't get care. 18% of people with disabilities versus 6% of people without disabilities. And 38% of people with disabilities said they had problems paying their health care bills versus 18% of people without disabilities. So this combines both greater utilization, poverty, and, of course, there is still a problem with uninsurance. So the takeaway message from this presentation is that we've shifted from a medical model of disability to a social model in which disability is seen as a minority group. People with disabilities are a large and diverse population, with a lot of them having hidden disabilities. Many people have multiple types of disabilities, and the prevalence of disability is higher in certain racial and ethnic minority groups and lower in others. Disability is of great interest to public health, partly because of its relation to some of the social determinants of health, particularly living in poverty, high poverty rates, low employment rates, and low levels of social participation. Uninsurance is a problem, utilization is very high, and unmet need is actually, I think, remarkably high.